Baker's had 18,000 people, so the central post office was usually busy. Quince went straight to his box, around a corner to a wall with 100 others. There were 3 letters, and as he snatched them and stuffed them in his coat pocket, his heart froze as he saw that one was from Ricky. He hurried onto Main Street, and minutes later entered his bank at exactly 10 a.m. His father had been there for 4 hours, but they had long since stopped bickering over Quince's work schedule. As always, he stopped at his secretary's desk to hurriedly remove his gloves as if important matters were waiting. She handed him his mail, his phone messages, and reminded him that he had lunch in 2 hours with a local realtor. He locked his door behind him and ripped open the letter from Ricky. The first reading brought shock. The second, disbelief. Reality began settling in with the third reading, and Quince's lips started to quiver. It was a joke. A hoax, he told himself. But he instantly knew better. The scam was too tight. The punchline was too perfect. He had been set up by a professional. Random thoughts hit from every direction. Suicide was the easy answer. But his doctor was gone, and he really didn't want to die. At least not at the moment. He wasn't sure where he'd find $100,000 he could send off without raising suspicions. The old bastard next door paid him a pittance and kept his thumb on every dime. His life as a rich banker in Baker's, Iowa, meant a title, a Mercedes, a large mortgaged house, and a wife with charitable activities. Oh, how he wanted to escape. He threw the letter on the floor and paced around his desk. His children were staring at him from the credenza, freckled faces, smiles with teeth wrapped in silver braces, 20 years worth of class photos and family portraits. His heart sank, and he knew he'd find the money and wire it precisely as directed. He had to protect them. They had done nothing wrong. The bank's stock was worth about $10 million, all of it still tightly controlled by the old man, who at the moment was barking in the hallway. The old man was 81, very much alive, but still 81. When he was gone, Quince would have to contend with a sister in Chicago, but the bank would be his. He'd sell the damn thing as fast as he could and leave Baker's with a few million in his pocket. Until then, though, he was forced to do what he had always done. Keep the old man content. He read the letter for the 4th time and began to make plans. He'd find the money, and he'd wire it just as instructed. And he'd hope and pray with a fury that Ricky would go away. If not, if he came back for more, Quince would call his doctor and get some pills.